All right, we are in Romans chapter 8 again tonight. We have tonight, and then we will have next Wednesday night. We are not looking at it verse by verse. We are rather just taking three messages out. Last Wednesday night was on the spirit. Tonight's going to be on the flesh. Next week will be on the victory. Last week we saw we have three relationships with the Holy Spirit. We're not to grieve him. We're not to quench him. But we are to be filled with him. And for the purpose that we saw last week, threefold purpose, so that he might lead us, that he might help us, and he might free us. That's what we saw last week. That was our last Wednesday night Bible study. Threefold responsibility that every child of God has to the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him, don't quench him, but be filled with him. So that he can lead us, help us, and free us. Now that's his work. And he is to do that in us, so that prepares us to approach chapter 12, which has to do with service. Serving the Lord that saved us. Now remember this. This is extremely important. When you come out of chapter 5, you're either saved or you're lost, one or the other. And if you're saved, you're eternally saved. So any death that is spoken after chapter 5 is not talking about spiritual death, because that's already been settled. I cannot emphasize that enough. That's rightly dividing the word of truth, as Paul told Timothy. So when you come out of chapter 5, salvation is either solved or you need to go back to Romans chapter 1 and start all over again, one or the other. So if you're saved when you come out of chapter 5, that's it. Your soul was saved and it will never be lost. The flesh is not saved. That's what chapter 6, 7, and 8 is all about. How do and what do I do with this flesh that God has left my soul to live in and through? So we saw last week the responsibility that we have. Don't grieve, don't quench, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible goes on to say not only filled, but overflowing. And if that's the case in our life, then we're moving forward so that he can lead us, he can help us, and he can free us. Now he leads us. Thank God for that. You cannot live a life being led by your feelings. I had a man come to me. I've told this story abundant times. I don't know if I've told it here or not. That's one of the things that happens when you get old. Durr. You lose your memory. And when you speak several times, you just don't know who and where you said what. But I've told this story many a times when I had went to Kentucky in the eastern coal fields of Breathitt County and started a church back in the early 80s, 82, I believe. And after we'd been there several years, one day I was coming out of the house going down to the church, and a vehicle pulled in and got out of the car. I didn't know the person. I had a one-hour radio program every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. At the local radio station, I went in and did it live. And fundamentalism and fundamental doctrine had never been taught much in those mountains. a lot of superstition, and it's bad. It's very bad. But anyway, our church began to take on recognition in the county. We were the only independent fundamental Baptist Bible-believing church in the entire county. Now, there was other churches, but there was nobody in strong doctrine. So when I got on the radio and started teaching sound doctrine, fundamental doctrine, it started getting some response. But anyway, we did that for years. Every Sunday, I'd go over at 9 o'clock and do it live. Then I'd rush back to the church, and the men would have the service open, the songs, and prayer time, and ready for me to teach Sunday school. I had to teach Sunday school. Didn't have a Sunday school teacher. And that car drove in that day, and he said, "I met you," and I forget exactly the details where he had met me and whatever. And he said, "Not only have I met you, but I've observed you. You're not a Kentuckian, and you're certainly not a mountain man." And he said, "You're not from here." And he said, "But I've observed you." And they said, "I met you," and I forget where he had met me, maybe more than once. And he said, "I've heard you." I knew what he meant by that. And he said, "You have something that I don't have, and I can't put my finger on it. But," he said, "you have something that I don't have." I didn't have a clue what he's talking about. I didn't have a clue. When I said, "Talk, I listen. You talk, I listen." You know, you learn a lot by listening. I rebuked the students down at Marietta yesterday. I said, "If you'll do twice as much listening as you do talking, you'll become a pretty good servant. If you'll do twice, that's why God gave you two ears and one mouth. If you'll do twice as much listening as you do talking, you'll become a pretty good servant. Be a listener, and you learn a lot by listening." And when I found out the background, where he came from, religiously and so forth, I knew exactly what his problem was. And I said, "I'll tell you the difference between you and me, and what you see in me, and what you don't have that you're wanting." He said, "Really?" I said, "Absolutely." And I was a young preacher back then. That was my first ministry. When I got ordained at Marietta, and there was 15 seasoned men that questioned me, they said, "We will ordain you only on the condition that you study the Holy Spirit, because you are weak in your answers." So they gave me several recommended books to read and study, which I did. They went ahead and ordained me, but they said, "On the condition, and we take your word that you'll do it, because you're weak in your answers and some of the questions that they presented." And boy, they were rough on me. Over 3 hours, they hammered me. And so I did. And so I'm not an expert on the Holy Spirit, but I'm well schooled. And I learned some things I didn't learn in Bible college. And so anyway, that helped me to help this man. What they recommended me to do in my ordination prepared me to help this man that walked in, drove into our church. And I said, "I'll tell you the difference." I said, "You live your life on how you feel, and I live my life on my faith. That's the difference." I said, "When you go to church, you go for a feeling. I go to church because of my faith." I said, "My faith doesn't change. Your feelings do. And that's why you're up and you're down. And what you see in me is my faith and stableness. What you are experiencing is unstableness, because your feelings is that which motivates you day after day." His eyes got about that big around. He said, "You hit the nail right on the head." He said, "That's exactly it." He said, "Thank you. I'll be listening next Sunday." Now, feelings cannot lead us. And you'd be surprised of how often they want to and how often they're prone to. It's got to be the Spirit of God that leads us, not our feelings. And many times the Spirit of God will lead us contrary to our feelings. And we've got to set our feelings aside and let the Holy Spirit lead us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we've got to have this threefold relationship fulfilled so he can lead us. But if we're grieving him and we're quenching him and we're not filled with him, then he can't lead us. And that often leads to disaster day after day. Then he helps us with our infirmities, those weaknesses. I've got a weakness of my flesh. It's a weakness in my flesh. It don't want to sleep. I want to sleep, but it don't want to sleep. It's an infirmity. My mother had it. I remember her complaining throughout the day. I don't know why. I wake up every morning at 2 o'clock, and I'm awake all, and then it's time to get up and go milk the cows. I'm awake all night long. I remember her telling me that, and telling us kids. And now I've got it, and I've had it for years. And you can say I'm crazy. That would not even have to be debated. But the moon affects my sleeping. And when there's a bright moon, you might just as well go out and play in the moon, because there's not going to be any sleep. There's just not going to be any sleep. So I pray for cloudy nights and sunny days. But that's an infirmity, and I pray about it. I say, Lord. And so the other night, I was awake. Sometimes I'll go to sleep for a couple hours, and I'll be awake. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning, ready to run and go. But my body says it can't, because it hasn't had the rest it needs. And so it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I said, Lord, you said... And I'm praying, I'm talking to the Lord, and sometimes I get pretty bold, not arrogant, but I get pretty bold, and I'll tell him, this is what you said, this is what you said, this is what you promised. Now, and you know, I'll find myself waking up after doing that, I'll find myself waking up 2 or 3 hours later, because I prayed myself back to sleep. or quote scriptures, whatever. It's an infirmity. And, you know, people take all kinds of stuff for infirmities. The Holy Spirit can help us a lot if we'll, by faith, let him take care of them. Now, I don't mean we don't need the medical field. I'm not saying that at all. God gave us the medical field to help us, and thank God he did. But a lot of infirmities of our flesh can be handled if we'll just turn it over to the Lord. So we're helped by the Spirit. He helps us. As I said last week, we don't know how to pray sometimes. We just don't know how to pray sometimes. He helps us according to the will of God. And that's very important, because over in chapter 12, we're going to look at the will of God. In chapter 12, verse 2, the will of God. So we got to be led by the Spirit, we got to be helped by the Spirit, and we got to be freed by the Spirit. And that is in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. I left off here, but I did not elaborate on it last Wednesday night. I just want to mention this, and then we're going to get to the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now remember, what kind of a death is that? When you come out of chapter 5 and you're saved, your soul was saved. So any death that's mentioned after chapter 5 is a what? Physical death. And many people, and that's what it says back in chapter 6, we studied it one Wednesday night, not in depth, the sin and the death. It's not a particular sin, it's an attitude towards sin. You ever hear people say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. Well, that's not the way God wants you to be. You got to let God change. So if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that means mortician, mortify, death. Now, what does the Holy Spirit put to death? Not the body, but the deeds. The deeds of the body. I got to have this body in order to live and conduct and so forth. The Holy Spirit is going to live through me and use me. Every time before I get up, and I don't say this for any wrong reason, I just say it because I do it. Every time before I get up off that pew and come up here and stand here or up there, I say, "Now, Lord, you speak. You speak from heaven tonight. You speak from heaven this morning, whatever the case may be. I want to come from you. Thank you that I'm a vessel that you can channel through, but you speak. We want to hear from you." Every time before I get up, if you see me about a minute before I get up, I'm praying. That's what I'm doing. I've got to have this body. I may not like it, but I've got to have it in order to serve the Lord. It's the old man. It's the man of sin. It's the old nature and so forth. This mind, so forth. So the Holy Spirit, I have to have a right relationship to the Holy Spirit to keep me free from the deeds of this body so that I don't become entrapped to the bondage of this deeds of this body again. I've been freed from this bondage. I've been freed from it. Notice in verse 15, "You have not received the spirit of bondage." No, that's not the Holy Spirit doesn't put us in bondage. Holy Spirit wants to free us from bondage and the deeds that this body is capable of and wants to do. If I, through the Holy Spirit, will yield, that's helping them infirmities. Sometimes those infirmities need to be put to death. And I'll tell you, they resurrect real quick. They resurrect real quick. So it's not the actual body he's going to put. Now when he says, "I'm crucified with Christ, I die daily," in essence, what we're speaking about in this clear verse here is the activity of the body. What it's capable of without the Holy Spirit. Or like before you get saved. Now, people that are carnal, like Paul admitted, they've got the Holy Spirit in them, but their body is in control and it's leading, maybe by feelings or whatever, and circumstances sometimes lead us, whatever the case may be. And it's hard to tell them carnal people from an unsaved person because they're living after the flesh. So we've got to have this body. So it's the deeds. And I want to tell you, this body is capable of doing anything. Anything. David had no idea what his body was capable of doing. But one day, caught off guard, he found out before the day was over, "I'm capable of murder, and I'm capable of adultery." I don't know why he would want Bathsheba when he had all that harem of women anyway. Why would Solomon want 999 more? You know, you wonder, what's wrong with these people? And here's the amazing thing, folks. He was the wisest man to ever live. He was the wisest man to ever live. I don't know. The deeds. What these deeds. I'll tell you, what our body is capable of shocks us sometimes. So it's the deeds. That's, he frees us. He frees us from the deeds of this body. Why? So I can present it in chapter 12. That's what I'm going to do when I get to chapter 12. When I leave chapter 8, I'm preparing for chapter 12 to present my body to God for service. But if it's not been taken care of, God's not going to accept it. Now remember, chapter 9, 10, 11 is dispensationally Israel. So when you come to in chronological order of chapter 1 through 5, salvation, chapter 6, 7, and 8, sanctification, chronologically, then you go right directly to chapter 12 through 16, service. That's the outline we gave when we began. And then in the middle, 9, 10, 11, you have the nation of Israel. But very important. Now, so this has got to take place in chapter 8, or we're never going to get chapter 12. And there's no need of trying to get over 6, 7, and 8 if we're still struggling back in chapters 1 through 5. And that's where Pat is. The old man. I say the old man. I'm not much younger than he is. Older. Is it? Older sounds better than old. He's got a history of religious experiences, and he don't have a clue about any of them. Pray for him. Pray for him. He's really confused. I left him a gospel tract. I'm going back up between Christmas and New Year's and talk to him again. But doesn't know. But anyway, there is the Spirit of God preparing us for chapter 12. Okay? Now, tonight, as we prepare for service, I'm going to give you three warnings about the flesh. Three warnings. They all come from chapter 8. First one, chapter 8, verse 5. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. I got one word for that. Priorities. Priorities. They that are after the flesh mind the things that are the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. So prioritizing can be easily determined by my life. What do I do? What's important to me? What's most important to me? Now I've said this 100 times and I'll say it again tonight, lest somebody misunderstands me. God gives us things to enjoy. That's clearly given by the Apostle Paul. All things are given to us to enjoy, but not to control or to have priority. When we become a child of God, prioritizing spiritual things is of utmost importance. Not the flesh activities, not the flesh activities, but the spirit, the spiritual. And God never leads us contrary to His Word. God never leads us. I saw statistics today. You know, sometimes statistics is just statistics. You don't know if somebody created them or actually did them. Whether they hold any weight or not, you don't know. But I saw statistics today that nearly 1,800 pastors are quitting every month in this country. In this COVID, dealing with this COVID and other church problems and stuff, nearly 1,745 or 1,755 pastors are quitting every month in this country. Now that takes over the realm of all denominations and all, you know, under the umbrella of religions. I don't just mean churches like ours, over all of them. The Catholic Church can't find men for the priesthood. They can't find men for the priesthood. And denominational churches like Methodist and Presbyterian and Nazarene and many of those, they can't find people that they just ain't gonna do it. And even in our identity of fundamental Bible believing, even evangelical, I'm going to tell you, churches can't find pastors. They can't find pastors. And many times it's because the pew wants to control the pulpit. And that just doesn't work, not with God. The pew cannot control the pulpit. But anyway, verse 5, a warning against prioritizing. We don't only, if we live after the flesh, we're going to have a list of priorities in our life that's going to show what's most important in my life. What I do is most important in my life. I told the kids yesterday down at the college, I said, if God's called you to serve, you'll never be happy doing anything else in your life except serving God. You'll never be happy doing anything else. And I told them, I said, I was called to preach a year after I was saved, and I didn't want to go. I fought God as bad in the call as I did the salvation. I didn't want. I said, it's not for me. No. And God about had to kill me the second time. And I said, on top of that, I was working at an IGA store at Marietta as a carryout boy to provide money for my family while I was in Bible college. That's what I did. I got off out of school every day at 12:30, changed my clothes, went down to 7th Street IGA store in Marietta, and I started carrying out groceries. You know, people, Americans are lazy. But I carried out groceries out to the car, and then I came back in and filled up somebody else's and put it back out in the car and put it back in. I did that for 8 hours. Then I'm home, studied couple hours, laid down for 3 or 4 hours, got up, studied a little more. I was dormitory supervisor. And I said, but I got time to go to Kentucky. And one day I was kneeling down when it was slow. I was kneeling down stocking shelves. That's what we would do. Carryouts would stock shelves. And it was late at night, and we was restocking for the next day. And back then you could smoke in stores. And I smelt a pipe smoke. And I was busy looking like this, and I kind of looked over here, and I saw these real black, shiny, patent leather shoes. And I kind of turned around, and I was down on my knees, and I just started looking up. Kept going up, up, and up, and up, and up. I never met the man in my life, but I was working for him. His name was Chuck Warren. And he owned the one in McConnellsville, one in Beverly, one in Lowell, three in Marietta, one up in Newport. All IGA stores. He said the manager had told him I had to quit because I was going into the ministry. Chuck Warren stood there that night. And I had about 10 minutes till I got time to leave. He stood there that night and just stared down at me, and he said, we don't find many workers like you. And he said, I don't want to let go of you. He said, you're a farm boy. You know how to work. I didn't never met him. I never talked to him. Never met him. Never talked to him. He sat there, that pipe, smoking pipe, tall man, about 6'3". Big man. I'm thinking, what's he gonna do to me? And he said, we can't find help like you. We don't want to let go of help. He said, let me make you an offer. Let me make you an offer. He said, if you'll stay, he said, I will personally fund you the IGA store in Newport. I don't know if she even knows this. I haven't told this much. And I don't know why I'm telling it tonight. He said, I will personally fund you, and you can pay me back. And he said, I would say that store right now, if it continues as it is, because it's up there where it's at, he said, I would say between 5 to 7 years, you'll be a millionaire. I dropped my head. I dropped my head. And I looked back up and I said, Mr. Warren, you don't know the honor that you have given me in offering that to me. And then I said, but God's called me to preach. And I know that God would kill me if I didn't. And I wouldn't be a millionaire. I'd be 6 feet under. I said, but thank you for the offer. And he said, that's exactly what I figured you'd say. Turned right around and walked away. I want to tell you, that was tempting. That was tempting. That was a big temptation. If you're after the flesh, a lion will be behind you. But if you're after the spirit, prioritizing what's important, what's most important in our life. Facebook friends, what is more important in your life? Earthly things or spiritual things? You have to answer that. I have to answer that. What's the most important thing in my life? So verse 5 is a warning. We got to have a right priority, and they got to be spiritual things. Why? Because verse 8 is the second. Let me read verse 7 first. It's 5, 7, and 8. The second problem. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind. Notice it says, it didn't say the carnal body. Because we're going to have to deal with this mind over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We've got to deal with his mind. To be carnally minded, whatever the mind decides to do, that's what normally happens. That creates the deeds. But it becomes an enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So it puts us at enmity against God. Thirdly, verse 8, the conclusion. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So do I live to please myself? Or do I live to please the Lord? And Hebrews chapter 11 says it very clearly. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible without faith. I can't please God, Joe Osteen, with my flesh. Now you may think you can. You may think you can, Mr. Osteen. That you can please God in your flesh. But your teaching that you're teaching is absolutely in contrary to the Word of God. And I'm going to believe the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit instead of you. Because Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And they that live after the flesh will die. And we're to have the Holy Spirit in us to put to death the deeds of this body. Not to pump it up and blow it up. And that puts us on the offense against God. And that's serious. And you can never please God with this flesh. You please God by your faith, not by our flesh. So there's the three warnings. We saw the three responsibilities in our relationship with the Spirit of God. Then we saw three things that He does for us if that relationship's healthy and proper. Three things that He does for us. And tonight we've seen three warnings about the flesh. Now why is that important? Why is it important to be spiritually minded and not fleshly minded? Very good question. I'm glad you asked. I have the answer in verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Leading shows that we are the child of God in verse 14. As the Spirit leads us, it proves that we are the children of God. In verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Now, if I'm living after the flesh, I've got no assurance. That's what I lose. You see, if we're fleshly minded and we follow the flesh and our mind is fleshly minded, and that's more important to us in our prioritizing than spiritual, we're in trouble with God. And we lose the benefits because, fourthly, He don't only lead us, help us, free us, He assures us. He assures us. He tells me, I'm yours. You have to experience this. You can't explain it. Going to Marietta yesterday, I pray a lot while I'm driving. And sometimes that gets you on the wrong road and half an hour out of the way and because your mind is not where it needs to be. But anyway, I just turned to the seat over next to me. There was nobody in it. And I said, thank you for riding with me today. Thank you. I feel your presence. If somebody would have been in the back seat, they would have said, call an ambulance and admit him. Check him in to the insane asylum. I told the kids down at the college, I said, it's okay to talk to yourself. It's okay. Just don't answer yourself. It's okay to talk to yourself. I used to do that in Romania all the time. I'd talk to the seat, like Clint Eastwood did to the chair. I'd talk to the seat. Nobody's sitting there. But I know he's there. I know he's there. And I said, thank you for my angel that watches over me and protects me. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to go down there and teach these young people and put a little bit of what experience I have in their life. I told him yesterday, they call them Offenberger's slogans, Offenberger's parables. I said, today's experiences will prepare you for tomorrow's. But if you fail today's, you'll fail tomorrow. If you fail in today's experience, you'll fail tomorrow. If your victory today's experience, it'll help you in tomorrow. There it is. Assurance. He wants to assure us. But if we're grieving Him and we're hindering Him and we're fleshly minded and our mind is on, you know, a sundry of things in this earth, even political. I haven't watched the news in 3 weeks. Any. I haven't watched any of it. We found a channel on Cyrus. It's called Enlighten. And they're playing Christmas music. Nice, good. That's all we listen to. Enlighten. We got a bluegrass channel on there. We listen to it sometimes. Honky Tonk Station. Listen to that. Willie Nelson's one of the roughest characters you ever know. But boy, can he sing. Next week, confidence. But there's some things we have to know. Verse 28. We know, but a lot of people don't know. Paul said, we know. But a lot of people don't know. That's where we're going to start next week, verse 28. And we're going to pull a message out of the verse 28 through the rest of the chapter. But it starts with, we know. We know. But the problem is, not living spiritually minded, we don't know. It leads us in trouble. All right. Thank you, Facebook friends, for connecting with us on this Wednesday night. We appreciate it. We had a great time of prayer before we connected with you. It's always a wonderful time here. It's been described as an oasis in the desert. I believe every time we come in the Lord's house, it's an oasis in the desert, that we can be with Him, His Word, and His people. So stay safe, stay blessed. We will be back streaming live with Brother Frosty's Sunday School lesson at 9:30 on Sunday morning. And I'll be speaking at approximately 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. So at this time, we bid you good night and stay safe. Thank you for connecting. Thank you. I'm just going to be very brief in asking prayer.